We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
And on the line to assess both the Phillies and the Eagles is a podcast master. Rhea, what podcast does this gentleman have?
Hitting Season. He writes for The Good Fight and for Bleeding Green Nation, John Stolness.
John Stolness online. Hi, John.
Hey, Angela. Good morning, guys.
Some magic in South Philly last night. What did you think of that home run in the ninth inning?
Man, it was payback, wasn't it? Remember Jason Hayward last year in Wrigley Field, hit the walk-off against the Phillies in Wrigley?
Right.
And I don't know if you guys saw the Chicago Cubs broadcast call, but if you haven't, watch it and inject it into your veins because it's beautiful.
All right, now hold on. We have the radio. There's a TV one where they're very unhappy.
Yeah, and they compared Harper's shot to, to Roy Hobbs' home run at the end of the Nationals.
All right, listen, Ava, find that call. We want to play that one, too. Oh, wow. John, the thing is, right, when you're watching that, he loves that moment. That's what he lives for, Harper. He's a big moment kind of guy, isn't he?
Yeah, and that's the thing I think that has been a little bit frustrating to me this year with him is we haven't seen that as much, but it's been happening more lately. You know, it seems like he's been stepping up a lot more in the last couple of weeks. He's been red hot. Even Harper especially has been hot even before Charlie got here, but it seems like since Charlie's arrived, he's really taken off. And you're right. You saw how fast he ran around those bases last night. He was so into it. I said it at the beginning of the season. I think he is an Eagles player wrapped in a Phillies player body.
That's a great observation. All right, this is the end of the pleasant part of our conversation. Because Stalness has written some today, Al, that is offensive to me.
Uh-oh.
Right. Oh, no.
Well, let's talk about Charlie. Charlie Manuel arrives. Is it at all a coincidence, John, that the Phillies are playing and hitting much better since Charlie arrived?
You know, I mean, it could be, but maybe it's not. I don't know if it's a coincidence or not. I think the guys, they certainly seem more relaxed. They certainly seem like there's a different vibe around the team at the moment, and that maybe plays into it. It might be that Charlie's come in and said, listen, don't worry about all the information that we're feeding you right now. For right now, just see the ball, hit the ball, and maybe that's having an effect because I don't know that the team would have scored 11 runs if Charlie's not here. I don't know that they would have come back last night. I can't say for sure one way or the other, but maybe it's a coincidence. Maybe it's not. I don't know.
Except you are writing today that in no way is this success in any way derogatory toward the concept of analytics. That analytics lives on regardless of the current moment. You
Correct.
Don't see that going to Charlie is a step away from analytics? You don't see that?
No, I don't. I think it's a different way of approaching the analytics. The language that's used and disseminating the analytics. Because what does Charlie talk about? What does he want? He wants his guys to hit home runs. He wants his guys to keep the ball up the middle and hit the ball on the fat part of the bat. Well, when you're talking about keeping the ball off the ground, that's launch angle. When you talk about hitting home runs and barreling the ball up, that's called barreling. When you talk about hitting the ball hard, which is probably the language Charlie would use, that's exit velocity. So for me, it's just terminology, and I think the problem the Phillies had with John Mailey is how they used the analytics, how they disseminated the information. And, you know, I heard Dave Kapler on with you the other day when he was talking about the Alex Rodriguez criticism, and, you know, and he pushed back against A-Rod saying, well, you shouldn't look at a player's recent hot streaks and cold streaks. We look at a longer sample size when deciding which player to match up against whom. And I think that's using the analytics incorrectly. I think you have to use some of who's hot, who's cold, who's struggling in the last 2 or 3 weeks, rather than looking at 162 games worth of data all the time. To me, it's not the analytics. It's how you're using this information that is the problem with the Phillies right now.
All right, we may just have an argument on semantics here, John, because I have this cut of Charlie explaining launch angles. And Charlie has a far more simplistic approach to it. Here's the way he described it.
I know what a launch angle is. I know what my version of a launch angle is. To me, my launch angle is where I make contact with the ball, where it leaves the bat.
John,
right.
I guess technically that's the same thing as all these stat guys are saying, but
yeah,
it seems simpler when Charlie says it.
And that's the thing. And I think we have to remember the Phillies were way behind in all of this stuff. And if you look at a team like the Astros and the Cubs and the Dodgers and the Yankees and the Red Sox, they all use analytics, but they've been using it longer than the Phillies have. And so it's like if you're a carpenter, you want a master carpenter building something for you because they've done it for a long time. They know how to use all of the tools as well as they can be used, as opposed to a novice who maybe they've been doing it for a year and they might know how to use the table saw pretty well, but they're not going to make something for you the way somebody who's been doing it for 20 years will. And I think the Phillies are a novice at this right now, and maybe they get better with it. Maybe this current staff gets better with it. Maybe they don't. Maybe they need new voices who know how to translate this stuff to players in a way that they can make it effective.
John, is there any scenario where Gabe comes out good in this?
Well, I think if they make the playoffs, I think everybody's right when he kind of says if the Phillies do well here, Manuel will get the credit.
Right.
And if they fail, Kapler will get the blame. But I also think a rising tide lifts all boats. And if the Phillies are able to get into the playoffs, thanks to an increase in offense, the Phillies are not going to fire Gabe Kapler if he makes the postseason. So
hold on. Hold on. Let's play it out a little bit. Charlie is on a 7-week assignment, John. He has no intention of staying as the batting coach. He's made
right.
that pretty clear. So we're going to start the next year with Gabe back in charge, a new hitting coach, and we think we're going to get a different result this time around. I don't see how Gabe comes back no matter what happens.
Well, I don't disagree. I think if the Phillies make the playoffs this year, it sets up a fascinating offseason because you really don't know which direction they're going to go. But I think that when they came into the season, Gabe Kapler was tasked with getting this team to the playoffs. If this team makes the playoffs, I have a very hard time seeing Matt Klentak and John Middleton relieving him of his managerial duties.
It'll be interesting to see. You're right. All right, let me move over to the Birds because you're also an expert of the Philadelphia Eagles, John. And here's the thing. I am now going to admit I couldn't be more wrong. I don't want to see Carson. I don't even want Carson Wentz standing on the sideline during the last two preseason games after what I saw yesterday. All right, John? John.
I'm with you. Yeah.
I mean, you know what? I mean, Kessler's hurt now. Sudfeld's got a broken wrist. Can't the Eagle offensive line, even the backups, protect anybody?
Well, I watched a couple of the analysts last night talking about it, and the offensive line appeared to do the right thing. And it was Dillard who had responsibility on that side, and he took care of the defensive lineman that was closest to the quarterback. And it's from what Doug Peterson said after the game, too. It's on the quarterback to recognize that there is a defender coming, that it's a hot read. He's got to get rid of the ball quickly. And Kessler didn't do that last night. So I think
hold on, John. No, John. Hollis Thomas is. If you were here now, Hollis would have you in a headlock.
Yeah, man.
Right, go ahead,
that wouldn't work.
I just wanted to just say, when you look at the way that happened, it looked like he didn't know what the hell he was doing. He went to the guy that was closest to him, but the other guy was being blocked. Two guys do not block one guy. I don't care what kind of scheme. If you do that, that's the worst scheme ever, and you get your quarterback killed every time.
Well, I'd take your word for it, Hollis, because I mean, I don't want to be in a headlock.
Well, no,
Hollis,
I wouldn't put you in a headlock. I would just show you on film. It was cool because I heard some people explain it like that. But if you look at it, he looked like he was puzzled because he didn't know who to block.
All right, John, there's one really interesting thing going on right now, though. What are the Eagles going to do? They only have one quarterback they're willing to play. Dawson, who looked pretty good last night, they do now have to bring another guy in, don't they?
Well, I think at least for practices and for some preseason, just to get somebody else in here. You can't be going with just two quarterbacks, and I think they probably will bring somebody in. But I think it's really going to depend. The quality of who they bring in is going to depend on what they see out of Kessler over the next few days. If this is a minor concussion and he's in the concussion protocol for just a few days and – you know, maybe he misses next week's game, but they think he'll be ready for the fourth preseason game. They probably just bring in a warm body. But if it doesn't look like Kessler is going to be ready for the regular season, I think they have to bring in somebody else that can play significant snaps in the regular season if Carson Wentz were to get an injury. But you're right. They need to keep Carson Wentz in bubble wrap, or they need to contact the Pentagon about a stasis bubble or something, because they can't let him get hurt.
John, great stuff, man. Always great talking with you. Thank you, John Stalness. Great podcaster, knows his stuff
in
a couple of sports.
Boy, it's aptly named now with Charlie
season.
Back.
That you know what, Rhea? That's right. He did. It didn't even apply until 3 days ago.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.